Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of the Free American Hour. Having a little bit of problem getting into my chat room on Blog Talk, but I'll be working on that while we're doing the show and try to join you in there in a few moments here. For some reason, things just aren't connecting here. But my guest today is William Fink. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Hello. Pretty jolly.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. I believe, Bill, you haven't been on my show before, but a friend of yours has, Eli James, has written a book with me, and he's a pretty regular on my show. I believe you guys have done a show together.
Yes, we've done about 200 shows together probably over the last year. We've been working together on internet radio for about 15 months now. And usually we discuss biblical history, Paul of Tarsus, the Gospels, the context and history of the Gospel message, things like that.
Now, you are a Christian identity, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I've recently adopted a Christian identity because, that's partially due to the government. When they listed Christian identity along with the militia and Homeland Security Assessment Report, I thought that was pretty interesting that, they not only don't understand the Second Amendment, they don't understand the First either, do they?
Well, absolutely not. And I've had much experience with Christian identity in relation to the government, and they absolutely despise us. The government learns about religion from the ADL, and the Jews and the ADL absolutely fear Christian identity. It exposes them as the frauds and charlatans that they are. It's the only religion that does so. The Jews love Judeo-Christianity. It's the Talmud for the masses. They hate Christian identity. They absolutely despise it. They don't want to talk about the history of Mesopotamia and Palestine before the time of Christ.
Well, now, how long has this been going on? I mean, I've said a number of times that there really is no such thing as the New World Order. Because Jesus ran the money changers out of the temple, and the money changers are still with us. They just changed the name of the temple. They call it the Federal Reserve now.
Well, right. It's the struggle between freedom and liberty that's been going on for 6,000 years. It's traceable back to ancient Babylon. Democracy and control of democracy by the people with money is as old as 3,000 B.C., when the temples of the children of Cain controlled Mesopotamia at that time.
Bill, I'm getting an echo here. Let me call you right back, sir. I'm going to hang up and just call you right back immediately.
Okay.
All right. Sorry about that, folks. Still trying to get on the...
Hello?
Yeah. Okay. That's better. That's better, sir. I'm not getting the...
Yes.
I'm not getting the echo now.
This is an ages-old struggle. It was the Edomite Jews who infiltrated Judea from 80 B.C. Until the time of Christ, and especially under Herod the Great, and took over the temple. And it's the same people that have taken over the temple today in the Federal Reserve and the Bank of England.
The AGL was started at the same time that, and by the same man, Jacob Schiff, with Kuhn and Loeb, he financed the Bolshevik Revolution. And we've lived the last 100 years thinking somehow Russians were our enemies, and they really weren't, were they?
Well, the Russian people are not our enemies.
That's right.
But the Bolshevik Revolution was entirely Jewish in nature. It was the Jewish destruction of a Christian state. The same thing with Nazi Germany in World War II and Titus Wilhelm's Germany in World War I. That was the Jewish destruction of the Christian state. The Jews have taken over England from the founding of the Bank of England. They financed the British Empire. They have used England in a war against the rest of Christianity for 300 years now. And in 1913, when the wolves got into the treasury here, they've used us in the same manner ever since.
It's amazing to me that Americans have been so dumbed down that they didn't recognize that Bush's last act, he gave away $2 trillion to the owners of the Federal Reserve. Of course, most of the American people don't know who the owners of the Federal Reserve. They don't know that the Morgans, Chase Manhattan, it's Kuhn and Loeb, it's, Geithner's firm.
Well, there's a public appearance of it being a public institution, and in reality, it's controlled through classes of shares held by certain families in all of those banks. And you, no matter how many shares you buy, you could never become a controlling partner.
That's right.
They basically certain, and the same thing in London, 16 or 17 Jewish banking families control every financial transaction in London. And New York is just it's just an outpost of that.
Let's talk a little bit about Christian identity. I mean, you've got two antichrist religions. You've got the Muslims, and there's been a buzz going about the internet. Somebody was doing anti-Muslim propaganda, trying to say that Muslims were marrying these little girls, and there's quite a bit of debate on that, whether or not that was actual or not. But Albert Pike told us that... we'd have a third world war, and it'd be against the Muslims, against the Arabs. So it looks like they're pulling out all the stops trying to demonize the Muslims. And while they're at it, it seems like they're also trying to demonize Christians again. They've raided a Christian militia group up in Michigan.
Yes, they have. They are trying to portray Christians as extremists. But even if you're a mainstream Christian on the streets of New York or on the streets of Tel Aviv, you're a Nazi. Even a Judeo-Christian is considered a Nazi in the streets of Palestine by the Jews. And they, those same Judeo-Christians just keep sending their money to Palestine for every perverted Jewish cause and Jewish foundation that they could dream up. The Jews have used the Muslims against Christians for 1,500 years now. It was the Jews who brought the Moors into Gothic Spain. the Jews did that, and they destroyed Spain. It was the Jews who opened the cities of Eastern Europe, as Martin Luther wrote, to the Mongol hordes of Genghis Khan. It was Jewish and Arab traders who brought the Turks into Anatolia and destroyed Celtic and Greek Anatolia in the 9th and 10th centuries, 11th centuries. They encouraged the Turks to invade the Byzantine Empire. The Jews were the catalyst of all of that. And Muslims had Vienna under siege as late as 1680. That's only 300 years ago. And we forget that so quickly.
Well, we've been dumbed down. I mean, the whole game plan for what's happening to America right now is detailed in the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. And, you know, I listen to everybody. I mean, I've had two or three Jews on. I've actually had a couple of good Jews on, like Aaron Russo and like Benjamin Friedman and Dr. Henry Macau, who have been basically saying the same thing. Aaron Russo warned us about this whole microchip that Nicholas Rockefeller wanted to implant in us and told him about it.
Well, we should implant all the microchips into the Jews. There's Jews in every generation that have told on themselves, basically.
Now, go ahead.
I'm sorry. There's been Jews all throughout history that have basically squealed on their countrymen. That probably boils down to what a Jew is. It's they're the most diverse gene pool in the world, probably. So not all Jews are actually the lineage of the Edomites and the Canaanites.
Now, Skip Baker was on my show a while ago. He does some nice artwork, and in his artwork he explains that the Edomites weren't the tribe of Judah. If you traced the lineage of the tribe of Judah, wouldn't you end up in Germany?
Well, yes, you would, with the Jutes and with others of the German tribes, but also in Ireland, in Troy, in ancient Rome. They can all be traced from Judah. I have historical papers drawn from the classics and from the Bible that demonstrate that clearly. On my website at Chris Degenia. The ancient Hebrews were of the Aryan stock, and most of the white people of Northern Europe today descended from them. And that might sound crazy to a lot of people, but this realization was made by historians of the classics when the English archaeologists started digging out of the ground the records of ancient Assyria. And this can clearly be demonstrated that the Irish, the English, the Scandinavians, and the Germanic peoples all descended from either the ancient Phoenician Hebrews, who were Israelites, and that can be established, or from the Israelites of the Assyrian deportations, which brings us to the Germanic tribes, several hundred years later. At the time of Abraham, there was no Germany. There was no England. Where did these people come from? They all came from Mesopotamia and from the Hebrews of the Old Testament.
We crossed the Caucasus Mountains and became called Caucasians.
Well, yes. We were anthropologists have known for a long time that we came from the region of the Caucasus Mountains. And that's why they basically named us our race Caucasian in the 1800s or possibly even in the 1700s. Now, the Greek classics tell us, like Diodorus Siculus and other writers, that the Scythian tribes of the Saka and the Cimmerians all derived from the area around ancient Media and the Caucasus Mountains and the land around the Black and the Caspian Seas. And those people, through the Assyrian records, which were actually translated by guys named Donald Luckinville and people like great scholars of the late 19th and early 20th centuries, that these Assyrian records make a full connection to the Israelites of the Old Testament with the Saka and Kimmerians and Scythians, as they're called by the Greek classics. And that's where the Germanic people came from.
That could explain why we've had two world wars with Germany, all instigated by Jewish financiers. And the Jews declared war against Germany with a full page ad in the New York Times before World War II.
The realization of Israel identity came to be in Britain, and there's evidence that it was in Scandinavia even earlier, but the real scholarship came out of Britain in the mid-19th century, with the archaeology of Sir Henry Layard and other great British archaeologists. Now, once this realization was made and it began to be published, Rothschild money implanted certain historians into British identity. And those historians wrote books that were very contrary to the Germans and tried to portray the Jews as being the tribe of Judah. But first century history, Josephus, Strabo, and other writers, and the New Testament, including Paul of Tarsus, prove that the people that call themselves Jews today are not the tribe of Judah. They are the children of Esau and the children of the Canaanites. The descendants of Cain can all be traced through the Old Testament. They infiltrated and took over Judea in the first century B.C. And this is misunderstood by almost every mainstream theologian because they don't study history. And they don't take the Bible for what it says. There's a reason why in Romans chapter 9, Paul says that he only cares about his kinsmen according to the flesh. And he goes on to compare Jacob and Esau and talks about the Edomites being vessels of destruction. He knew that half those people in Judea were actually Edomites. They were not the children of Israel. And that's also evident in John chapter 8, in the Revelation, and in several other New Testament writings.
Now, I said that this was going to be a debate about Paul, but, you know, I don't approach this as an expert on anything. I watched what happened at Waco when a group of Christians were attacked by the federal government, 17 little children murdered, burned to death, run over with tanks. And I was outraged. And I swore to my wife I would never sit back and watch something like that happen again without trying to do something. What I tried to do was start the Free American Magazine and start the militias. And, of course, they're going after the militias again. With the demonization of Christian identity and the militias, in the Homeland Security Assessment Report, which is in our book, Mystery Babylon, it outlines, you know, pretty much what my history was here. And suddenly, the militia, first of all, Christian identity, we got the right to worship the way we want. That's why one of the reasons we fought the Revolutionary War and got away from England so we wouldn't have a state religion, so we could worship as we pleased. And the militia, you know, what part of the Second Amendment don't they understand? And the militia is the American people. But suddenly I was attacked and demonized for starting the militias, for training the militias, which is the only thing I didn't start them. They've been around since we formed this country. It's the American people, every able-bodied male between the ages of 18 or 45. And I want to, suddenly I was attacked by the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League and Southern Poverty Law. We're talking with William Fink, and we're talking about Christian identity and what's happening now, and we'll be right back. We got to take 2 minutes, Phil, and then we'll be back.
Now, for what it's worth, the Ninth Circuit panel in San Francisco has been reversed. The Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, has ruled that Valerie and Robert McKee owed the government $31,000 in unpaid taxes until Valerie and Robert demonstrated in court that the tax law is so complex nobody can understand it. The court had to agree that the law was indeed so complex that nobody could understand it, and the court reversed itself, and the IRS gets the bill. The government also sought and got us. Your government also tried to get a stipulation that this verdict would not be made public, but it just was. Paul Harvey,
was that? One of the most important issues we face today is the impact of the USA Patriot Act upon our liberties. And you think you understand what that Patriot Act says, and you think you understand its impact. You believe you have a pretty good realization of how serious it is. But let me give you a clue. Until you see the DVD entitled The Cost of Freedom, you don't know the half of the story. You aren't even aware through the fog of the definition of the mountaintops. Well, that's kind of demeaning. Maybe you do, and I don't mean to put you down, but let me just put it this way, positively. The Duncan Group, Incorporated, has put together a DVD called The Cost of Freedom. Support Truth Radio to the extent you can, and ask for a copy of The Cost of Freedom, and I'll get it out to you. Thanks.
We're going to rise up with the sun in the morning. We're going to start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without the love and kindness of the Lord and our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're going to do the work our Lord puts before us. There's a job that surely needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under their thumb.
All right, little Carl Klein clip. That's been my theme song there for 15 or 20 years. I didn't understand. You know, when I got involved in this, when I started the militias, and when I started doing the radio show to promote my magazine, I had no idea, any more than most Americans, most Judeo-Christian Americans out there, which I say today is about the same thing as saying, I'm a satanic Christian, thank you. But I had no idea why the ADL was suddenly attacking me. I mean, I'm just an old biker from Texas. Why would they go after me? Because of the Free American and the militias.
Well, because a multicultural state, America is not a nation anymore. A nation, the Latin word natus is born. A nation is a homogenous group of people living under a single government, racially homogenous with the same history, the same experience. An empire is a single government that governs multiple nations of people. And that's what America has become basically since we freed the slaves. Now, a multiracial state, if you look at history, always requires a tyranny. And ancient Rome is a perfect example. It was a republic until the Romans conquered and subjected other nations, folded them into the same government, made them citizens or at least elements of value within their empire, and all of a sudden Rome's not a republic anymore, it's a tyranny under a single Caesar. A homogenous group of people do not require a tyranny to cooperate with each other and get along.
Now, in Jesus' day, Rome was occupying Palestine much the same way the Jews are today, but maybe the Romans actually were descended from the Israelites. Maybe they had more of a right to be there than the Jews do today. Would that be the case?
They absolutely did. Actually, in the time of Christ, the entire world was governed by tribes that had descended from the Israelites. The Scythians, the Parthians, and the Romans. However, Rome was... Judea was a multiracial state by the time Rome got there. The Maccabees had gone out, and in 130 B.C., or maybe 121 B.C. is a little closer... And they had decided, they had gotten into their heads that anybody living in the land of ancient Israel should perhaps practice that religion. And they conquered the Edomites and the surrounding Canaanites and forced them to circumcision. And most of them gladly accepted.
That was the Maccabees?
Yes, the Maccabees did that. John Hyrcanus did that. Circa 125-121 B.C. Josephus records it in the 13th book of his Antiquity. And from then on, once Herod gained control, Herod the Edomite, and Josephus shows that he's an Edomite, comes from an Edomian family. Four times Josephus mentions that in his history. And Herod, as soon as he gained control by killing the last of the Maccabees, and destroying the family and all the princes of Jerusalem, who were authentic Israelites, Herod started using the temple priesthood as a political tool. And from that time forward, from 36 B.C. forward, that's all it was.
It doesn't sound like much has changed. We got John Hagee today, you know, raising money from good Americans for the chosen ones. And again, that's a lie too. When did our Bible start reflecting the idea, the concept that the Jews were the chosen people, that the Jews were the Israelites? When did that start?
Until the late 19th century, most Christians understood that the Jews were the cursed people. Now, in the late 19th century, we have Jacob Schiff, Samuel Untermeyer, the Lotus Club in New York City. We have Cyrus Schofield wrote a bunch of notes to him. He was probably handed them. I can't prove that. But he was basically funded. He was a member of the Lotus Club. He was funded by Schiff and Untermeyer and Samuel Untermeyer and like people. And his Schofield Bible became basically the most published, most promoted Bible in the history of printing, and it's still on shelves today because it basically presents the best Christianity that Jewish money can buy. And they've gotten some great return on their investment.
Now, I've said that, the Bolsheviks, they were Jewish, and we're never told in history. We're told about the pogroms that drove the Jews out of Russia. If you search in history, you will find out that the czars had given the Jews their own land. It's called the Pale, which is where we get the term from beyond the Pale. And then suddenly the propaganda campaign started to try to, again, demonize the czars that had aided the Americans, one side or the other, by keeping other countries out from being involved in the Civil War. And I guess they got back at him by murdering the Tsar, his family.
Well, that's true. It was the Rothschilds that financed it, that caused the Civil War, basically. They agitated it. They They wanted it because they were afraid of a united America. It was too big, and it was free, and they don't like that. They can't usurp and infiltrate it. Jackson had, and I mean, the greatest president we ever had, probably, Andrew Jackson, threw the wolves out of the hen house, threw out the first and second banks of the United States.
Had it put on his tombstone, "I killed the bank." Well, evidently he just wounded it. I'm sure it might have been a... Because they're backing in full force now.
Well, right, but it took them 80 years to do that. It took them 80 years and a whole lot of American stupidity to do that.
And but these Jews, these are the people that Jesus railed against. He called them, he said that they were the Jews who say they're Jews, but were of the synagogue of Satan. I've got that on the cover of my book. Mr. Babel.
Well, right. That's precisely what they are, the assembly of the devil. There's no doubt. And Paul of Tarsus said the same thing. But Paul's words are the most contorted. Paul's words are the most abused words that I've ever seen in the translation.
All right, let's talk about that. Because I may be a victim of some of this propaganda. William Nike, And even Thomas Jefferson removed all the words of Paul out and created the Thomas Jefferson Bible, where he just had the words of Jesus in there. And Jesus railed against this synagogue of Satan, the Jews that say they're Jews and not Jews. Who were the people then? I mean, these were the Jews. Now, were they pulling the strings of the Romans, or were the Romans pulling the strings of the Pharisees?
Well, the Romans.
I think this is really a key question here, Bill, because I've said there's a couple of things I can't tell my audience. I can't tell you if the government took over the mafia or the mafia took over the government, and I can't tell you whether the government controls the press or if the press controls the government. 61, half a dozen of another. How about that, sir?
Basically, what people don't understand is the historical context. The Romans only care about two things, the general public peace and the tax farms. That's all they care about. They want their money. Now Judea was actually a subject nation in Roman terms until the time of Herod Archelaus, until about 9 A.D., and Herod, being a subject king, had a great amount of latitude. He had the power of life and death over his own subjects. The Romans don't care as long as they collect their taxes. Herod Archelaus, who was Herod the Great's successor, was such a screw-up that the Romans had to step in and remove him and demote Judea to a province, which means that the leaders of the province, who are now called tetrarchs, that they divided it into four regions, so each one's a leader of a fourth of the province, are actually accompanied by a Roman procurator or a Roman governor, proconsul, a Roman governor, and at the time of Christ it was Pontius Pilate, and he would hear capital cases. That the Judeans were no longer allowed to. But aside from that, that's all political. And Pilate is going to try to cooperate. The Roman governor is going to try to cooperate with the people so that his term is as smooth as possible, and he has no problems back in home in Rome. And basically, that's how it boils down. He's more or less has to go along with the will of the Jews because they're nefarious people. They're always whining. They're always complaining. They were constantly sending embassies to Rome to complain about how the province was being managed. It's no different than today. They had their AIPAC back then, too.
Now,
so the Romans, they're mostly apathetic. They just want to keep the peace and not have to hear the whining all the time.
So the Judeo-Christian religion, churches that we have today. I might add here, because I get this from certain factions. Well, you're not talking about the Catholics. What about the Pope? What about the Black Pope? Well, yeah, the Rothschild took over the banking for the Catholic Church in the late 1800s.
Well, yes, but that goes back further than that, because the De Medicis were from a Jewish banking family. They supplied us three popes in the 1500s. That's when the Catholic Church started really going downhill. I mean, it's always been a tyranny, and it's always been anti-Christian and unjust. But when the De Medicis became the popes, and the Catholic Church opened the world to usury, the European world to the idea of usury, and legalized usury, that caused the decline of our civilization, I think. Usury was outlawed until then.
Now, let's go back to Paul. Paul wasn't Paul originally. His name was Saul, and we're told he was a Pharisee. We're also told, at least I was told in my research, and this has been years ago. This has been years ago. And Bill, you know, I know that you got on my case as a Paul basher on your site, and your site is linked, so people can go and read that.
Right, and the link, I'm sorry, the link is no good. It's misspelled.
It's what?
It's misspelled. The link to my site on the front page of your site is misspelled, I'm sorry.
If you're sending me an email, I'll hold on just a moment, and I will correct that immediately. My apologies on that.
No problem.
The hyperlink is...
I just put it in the chat. It's only the last part of the word is misspelled. It's G-E-N-E-A.
I'm not... I've got the chat in a... Okay, all right. Let me show you that. My chat is now... I got in the chat finally, but it's on my other computer. So, CRS... C-H-R-I-S-T-O.
G-E-N-E-A. E-A.
E-A. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. But Paul was, he was a Pharisee. This is one of the people that Jesus railed against.
Well,
his name was Saul. And so let's take a look. Now, wait a minute. Let me clarify something, and I am correcting this link on your site because I want people to be able to get that. Based on the information, I didn't write the story. I ran the story. You know, I have been getting at that time. I had been starting to get attacked. I ran an article that, again, I didn't write this. I wrote the title for it. Do Jews run the world, and is it hate to ask that question? And I got attacked by Dr. Lynn Horowitz. Hey, why would you run that story without talking to me first?
They don't want anybody to know.
I said, why would I talk to you, Lynn? You know, when have I ever talked to anybody about what I wrote, what I printed, what I published? And that was interesting, too, because for the first time and the only time in my life, I got attacked by somebody that I saw shape-shift in an elevator with me. It was the strangest. It was like being in a movie, American Werewolf in Paris, except I don't believe he changed into a werewolf. I think it was reptilian.
Well, the serpent came out. Absolutely. I could see it. I grew up 2 miles outside of New York City in a land of a million Jews. I mean, New Jersey's the Garden State because there's a Rosenblum on every street. That's where I grew up.
So, if I there was one quote of Paul's in there that upset me, and that was, be a good slave. Don't rebel against your masters. which put a doubt about Paul into my mind. The whoever wrote the article, you know, I went along with it, and I printed the article. And, you know, I also allowed Tex Mark to write an opposition letter, and I printed that, too. I also printed Lynn Horowitz's response to me about my article about the Jews. But we're talking with Bill Fink, William Fink. By the time you come back, the link to his website will be fixed. And we'll be right back. Hang on just a minute. You're listening to the Free American Hour with Bill Fink.
At least a couple of decades, Truth Radio listeners have known about the benefits of colloidal silver.
Well, that was a great thought. But with this new patented technology, Silver Shield was created, and it's 10 times better than colloidal silver.
Silver Shield. You can learn all about this new product using very high voltage to create colloidal silver by scrolling down the Truth Radio page till you see the sunflower. Click on the sunflower. Over on the right-hand side, you'll see the bottle of Silver Shield, and you can learn all about it, learn how you can
benefit your life.
Learn how you can use it to benefit your life.
We hear so much about it that after a while we got the idea that pollution is just everywhere, and in a certain sense it is. But there is also pollution that you can't see. One of our listeners, who is a prison guard, has been subjected to the pollution of high-voltage electricity. It's called EMF radiation. And the guard station, you should see the picture of the guard station where he works. It's right next to some high-voltage electrical lines, and it's impacting his health. So he's done a good deal of research on this subject, and he's sent us a CD that will save you a lot of time on Google if you are concerned about this issue. Yes, it's a controversial issue. I know that, but it's something we really need to dig into and get the facts about. If you want to learn about EMF pollution, send for the CD on that subject when you write P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, 93444.
We're gonna rise up with the sun in the morning. We're gonna start each brighter day with a prayer. Because without the loving kindness of our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're gonna do the work our Lord puts before us. There's a job that surely needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under their
throne. All right, we're back. My guest is Bill Fink, William Fink. You prefer Bill?
Oh, it doesn't matter to me. Bill is just fine.
Okay.
Anything but late for dinner.
So. You know, this one quote in the Bible of Paul, be a good slave, don't rebel against your master. I at that point in time, you know, I was doubting not only the Bible, I was doubting everything. It wasn't until this last year that Eli James shared with me and gave me the story about the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, I'm not talking about Steven Spielberg, you know, or George Lucas or anybody like that. I'm talking about the real Ark of the Covenant discovered by Ron Wyatt and buried by Israel because the Israelites don't want you to know that there's scientific proof that Jesus is divinity. The only human blood in history ever found with 24 chromosomes instead of 46. And the blood is dead after 10 years. The text told him there's nothing we can do about that. And then suddenly they started screaming, this blood's alive, after 2,000 years in a cave below the cross where Jesus was crucified. They found the blood of Jesus. They tested it, and it was still alive after 2,000 years. That kind of sold me on Christianity, on Christ's divinity, and the information I've got in my book about Christian identity written by Eli James, to me is the best description of Christianity. But I did speculate, and this is what, 8 years ago, they've tried to kill me since then. And you might say, hallelujah, I got religion because I found Jesus. I guess you could say that. But at the time, this is over 8 years ago, I did question the Paul. I speculated that perhaps, you know, he on the road to Damascus, it hit him like a thunderbolt, knocked him off his donkey, that I don't have to kill these Christians. I could take it over. I'm an educated man. I am guilty of speculating about that, Bill. Now, because in my understanding, Saul changed his name to Paul because he had been trying to kill the Christians.
He never changed his name. Luke wrote that, and he was called Saul. That is true. And he was also called Paul, and that is true. That is true. However, most Roman citizens at the time had three or four names. Vespasian's real name is Julius Caesar. Gaius Julius Caesar was his name. You could call him Caesar, you could call him Julius, or you could call him Gaius. Gaius was his given name. Caesar was his given name. Julius was his family name. It means of Julii. Everybody thinks that Julius is Julius Caesar's first name. And it's not. It's his last name. Caesar was his first name. The Romans had, the average Roman had three or four names.
All right. So the Jesus was railing against the Pharisees, and I assumed that they would be if Paul was a Pharisee, this was somebody and a group that Jesus wasn't too fond of. Bill, if it's all right with you, we'll take some calls. I got a caller on the line.
Sure. I would love, before the program ends, though, I would love to explain the fact.
Well, go ahead. Let's do that first. I want you, I appreciate you being on my show, and I appreciate the research that you've done, sir.
Well, thank you. The Pharisees was actually, according to the historian Josephus, who I fully trust and I could defend easily. Now, Josephus explains to us that the Pharisees were a sect in Judea from at least 150 B.C., and the word means separatists, and they were anti-amalgamation of the other race, the Canaanites and Edomites. They started out as a good sect, okay, and just like the Republicans, you know, the conservative Republicans and the contract with America and all that sounded great and the people signed up with it. And 10 years later, it was absolutely corrupted, wasn't it? Now it's run by a bunch of Jew neocons. Well, it's the same thing in the ancient world. In ancient Judea, you had three sects. You had the Essenes, who were basically, as Josephus says, Judeans. They had to be Judeans by birth. In other words, they were racial purists, and they were excoriated from political life. And the political world was run by Pharisees, who started out as separatists, but surely didn't end up that way because that was perverted over time. And the Sadducees. And the Sadducees were equivalent to the modern-day progressives. They were the party of the super-rich. That they rejected everything spiritual. They were all about the fiscal world and personal wealth. And they were actually the high priests that slew Christ. They were Sadducees. And that can be proven from the New Testament and the book of Acts. It was the Sadducees who were the vehement anti-Christians. The Pharisees were split. There were a lot of good Pharisees. Joseph of Arimathea was almost likely a Pharisee. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He helped bury Christ. So there were definitely good Pharisees. Paul was a Pharisee, but he was a very young man at the crucifixion, as the book of Acts attests. He could not have been a leader in Judea. He was probably not even, being from Tarsus, and a young man out of school past the period of his education. He was probably not even in Palestine during the ministry of Christ. Christ was not, somebody asked in the chat if Christ was an Essene. No, he was not an Essene, but it is true that the early Christians and the Essenes were probably, numerous among them.
Now, the if I recall, it's been 8 years, so I don't recall. And I did give Tex Mars this space in my magazine to refute the allegations about Paul. You know, this is, you referred to me as a Paul basher. I'm not really. I'm not bashing anybody. I just want to know the truth. I have no desire to run the world, so I don't really give a shit who does. Well, that's not true either. I do care. I mean, this is a Christian country, and I want to see it stay a Christian country. But, if you want to hug trees or, however you want to worship, that's your business. I'm not going to interfere with this. How did this whole Paul debate start? Where did that come from? I got my, the person that wrote the story said he was, that he had been a, he'd been going to a seminary school, and the teachers at the school, when he uncovered the question about Paul, they told him, this is not for the masses, this is just for, the teachers, don't share this information with the public at large. And I did share that with the public at large, and, I'll ride the heat that created. But, again, my goal is to know the truth. If you're running this country, I just want to know who you are and what your agenda is. That's all. So where did this uprising against Paul or this question about Paul start?
The English and the German translators of the 1700s and 1800s, they knew that they fit into the picture of Christianity, but they didn't understand how. Paul's message is absolutely racial. It's absolutely only to certain nations descended from Abraham through Jacob Israel. Paul's language is actually very exclusive, and they universalized the language. They coined a phony word, Gentiles, which has no place in any translation in the New Testament. They ignored a lot of the exclusivist language of Paul. And I read Greek, by the way. I spent 10 years studying Greek. They ignored a lot of the language of Paul that's exclusive. And Paul's message is certainly exclusivist. And they snowed over the whole translation. It's the worst translated thing material I've ever read. And I've read much of the classical Greek literature from distinguished academics of the 19th and early 20th centuries before the Jews took over our publishing industry and our universities. And I can't believe the way what Paul was translated. Nouns are translated as verbs. Verbs are translated as nouns. Words are totally taken out of context. The words are made up. Gentile is a made-up word. The Greek word is ethnos. Paul's message is very clearly to the descendants of Abraham. Find them in history through Jacob Israel, and you'll find Christians. And Paul excludes every other race from Christianity.
Now, I've had some black pastors on, Pastor Manning, who's refers to Obama as a long-legged Mac Daddy, and I have a tendency to believe he's a good Christian. I've had him on my show a couple of times. Where do people like him? Where do the black Christians? Where does their faith come from? How do we deal with them? And I'll tell you right up front, I've told the Aryan Nations. They asked me to speak at one of their events. I said, well, I might speak there, but you won't like what I got to say. Because any time you refer to the Jews as kikes, to the blacks as mud people, to the Chinese as chinks, to the Mexicans as spicks, you are shooting yourself in the foot and you're giving your enemies the weapons and the ammunition to destroy you.
Well, you're right. The vulgar language turns off the general public. There's no doubt. And there's probably no need for it. And the truth is that the covenants of God are made, and it's spelled out. It's Jeremiah chapter 31. It's Old Testament and New with a specific family of people. If you want to find the Christians in the world, you have to find that family. And only history and archaeology can do that.
All right. Hold on a moment, and we'll chat a little bit. Yeah, we got 2 minutes here, so... Bill, I want to invite you back here. We're through with Truth Radio here, but we got 2 more minutes here. And let's continue on that. You know, it seems to me that us white folks, especially Christian Identity, you know, the whole Homeland Security report tries to paint us as racist, tries to paint us as being violent. And I've been to a lot of Christian Identity meetings over the last 10 years. I've never heard anybody advocate violence. The only thing I've heard anybody in Christian Identity advocate is freedom. And I also want to point out Pontius Pilate sent a letter to Julius Caesar that described Jesus as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white man. And so the whole, you know, I just, this show and me personally is about trying to get to the truth of things. And, you know.
Well, the center of our race in ancient times, 4,000 years ago, was in Mesopotamia. And the Hebrews were white people. And I could walk you through the Old Testament and prove that beyond all doubt.
Weren't we the slaves in Egypt? Weren't we the people that Moses led out of Egypt? Across
yes, our ancestors were, and that could be proven in history.
And Ron Wyatt, who found the Ark of the Covenant with the blood of Jesus on it, he also found the Egyptian chariots at the bottom of the Red Sea, and he found Noah's Ark.
Well, there's a lot of proof, you know, even outside of that, because a lot of that is suppressed and Eli James and other Christian Identity pastors have promoted and elucidated Wyatt, you know, Wyatt's work, but I'm a pragmatic guy, and I could prove in classical history, in language, in the Bible, that we are the children of the Hebrews of the Old Testament. The Anglo-Saxons and the Celts are, for the most part, the children of the Hebrews of the Old Testament, and not the entire white race descended from them, and not all whites today descended from them, but they all descended from that race of Genesis chapter 10, and the descendants of Noah, they were all white. There were no other people there. The flood didn't cover the entire planet. It covered the entire land. And that's a whole separate, you know, argument. But basically, kind begets kind in the Bible. And Noah had 3 white children, and they populated the known world. That's the Bible story. It can be demonstrated in history that our race came out of Mesopotamia, approximately 3500 B.C., and that coincides fully with the Septuagint dating, the Septuagint chronology. The Masoretic chronology is perverted. The ancient Egyptians were white, and there's all kinds of archaeological evidence to prove all of this.
Who were the pharaohs? Who were the pharaohs that ruled over us?
Well, the pharaohs, there's actually evidence that they were Shemites at that time. That they weren't even Hamites. The Egyptians are white and they're Hamitic. They're Hamites. But the ruling class at that time, there's evidence that they were Shemites. They were our cousins.
All right, Bill, we're out of time here, but what are you doing Friday, April 9th?
April 9th. I'll be here.
I'd like to have you on my show again.
Fine. That'd be great. We could elucidate this further.
All right, sir. We'll do that. I'll add you to my schedule here, and I'm doing an email that'll you'll be on the email. And I want to thank you for being on my show.
Thank you, and praise Allah.
Praise God. Bye-bye.